This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
This week's Pasha, Pasha's Vayetze. We learn a lot about Yaakov Avinu, his marriages, and his daily life activities for many, many years in business. Dealing with a boss like Lavan, his father-in-law. Hebrew, there's an expression, Tarti L'Riusa. It's based on a Gemara. Tarti L'Riusa. It wasn't only it was his boss who was difficult, it was his father-in-law. A boss of father-in-law. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the stress that Yaakov Avinu had to live through on a daily basis? It wasn't just a father-in-law. That itself could cause a person to go off the wire. It was his father-in-law and a boss. And on top of that, he was the biggest liar that ever lived. Lavan or Arami, Ramai. We find that Chazal tell us inherently Lavan was a tremendous liar. It's even brought in Chazal that his name was a lie. Lavan is white. Chazal tell us he was actually extremely dark. There was nothing that he ever said or did that had anything to do with the truth. They say over an expression, this guy's such a liar that even if he says hello to you, you know he's lying. It's an expression that's used. It's not that far off in definition of Lavan. If you want to know what Lavan is a cheftze. It's a Hebrew word, cheftze. He's the essence of lie. Lavan, Ramai, he was a liar. He's a liar. And on top of that, he's the father-in-law. So even if the father-in-law is a good guy, it's not so easy to deal with the father-in-law. Eh? On top of that, it's his boss. And on top of that, he lives in the house together with his father-in-law for years and years and years. And at every step of the way, the father-in-law lies to him to the point that he gave him the wrong girl. Could you imagine a person goes to a shidduch, chasana, he sits under the chuppah, and the father-in-law tricks him and gives him a different, they say over. I don't know if you know, Sfaradim have a very interesting, shrill sound that they make by a chasana. La 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 la. Where does that come from? Medrash says that they were screaming Leia 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 Leia. La 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 la. No, it's a medrash. It's brought based on a medrash. You never heard that before?
Yeah.
Can I to come just for this, Rabbi? La 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 la. It was Leia 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 Leia. They were telling Yaakov.
Everybody knew.
So could you imagine the embarrassment? Are you talking about the whole thing was a setup, a lie, which would have taken another person's mind, blown his mind that he should come over and really wrangle the neck of his father-in-law, yeah? Let's talk to see, how did he respond? Was that the way Yaakov Avinu deals with it? Says the Teira Kdesha, Vahi Babayke, in the morning, Vihine hi Leia, it's Leia, Vayayimir Alavon, Mazoy Sisili, Halay Barachel, Avaditi Imach, Vilamir Misani, why'd you lie to me? Lavan answers, Vayeme Lavan Lios Achemim Kemenu Lose Satira Lifnea Bechira. This is not what we do here. We don't give the young girl before the old girl. Makes sense to you? How about what the fact that he told him he would do differently? It's all very good if that was the agreement in advance and the discussion that preceded the wedding. But you can't come and say one thing and then slip him a lie. My Zaydi Zecheinu Levracha, my Zaydi Zatzal used to explain the Pasuk. I believe it's from his father, the Beis Aron. And I think the Sfarim today bring from the Beis Aron, from my great-grandfather, Pshat, the Pasuk. I mean, it's a tremendous question. How could you do this to me? I don't understand. We spoke about the Chasana, and we spoke about Rachel being the Kala. What, you slipped me up something? He doesn't answer that question. We don't do that here. Who cares what my answer, but you lied to me, right? So my grandfather says, you have to understand Lavan's answer. Yaakov is telling him, how could you lie to me? You didn't tell me the truth. And the answer is, we don't tell the truth around here. What do you want from me? What are you talking about? There's normal dealings around here. Doesn't mean on the older, the younger, nah, because otherwise that wasn't the question. The question was, why did you fool me? Why did you lie to me? The answer is because we don't what? I mean, you lied to me. He didn't address what Yaakov Avinu. And Yiddish Zuckman money him. What Yaakov Avinu is taking him to task. What's the answer? To tell the truth. It's normal here. This is how we do business around here. Yaakov Avinu right away should have thought to himself, either I kill myself or I kill him. This isn't going to work, right? How does Yaakov deal with nothing? Tells him, go work again. I'll give you Rach. Okay. He accepts it. Did he get angry, Yaakov? So the truth is, when you read the Pasuk, you could read it that he said it angrily, right? Depends how you read the Pasuk. So we have to go to the Baal Koreh and ask the Baal Koreh, read it for me. How do you read it? But then you can read it that he didn't say it that way. Who says he read it with such emphasis? Maybe it was like this. Told Lavan, what'd you do? Told it, right? It's all in the Nigun, and how he said it. There's a very famous story, the Bali Musar say, that there was once a child that sent a letter to his father from yeshiva, saying that he's missing money and clothing, and he needs. You know, how does a child? I need, right? That's a child. The father reads the letter, and he says, Eze mechutzaf, what a chutzpen, I'm not going to send him any clothing and any money. Look how he wrote me a letter. Tate, father, need money. Send clothing. That's how you talk to your father? That's what, with such azut? Not going to send him any money, not going to send him any clothing. The mother said, let me read the letter. Let me read. She picks up the letter and she reads, Abba, Tate, need money. Send clothing. It's the same words, different nigun, huh? Question! What did he say it? Now we know Vayomer is not a lashon of strong, harsh words. Usually, Dibur is kasha. Dibur. Vayedaber. Dibur is kasha. Vayomer, right? Or Vayage, this kashe kagidin. Vayomer doesn't mean strength or strong language or strong connotation. So we don't have clear in the Pasuk how harsh and how heated was the conversation. We don't have it. It's not clear in the Pasuk. But I could tell you something interesting. We find later on that there was another exchange between Yaakov and Lavan, and there the Pasuk does say Vayichar, got angry. Later on, when Lavan runs after Yaakov at the end of his unwelcome stay, Yaakov Avinu, he leaves, he runs away, right? He didn't give any heads up that he's leaving. Took the trophim, Rachel strolled and stole the Avodah Zarah of Lavan. He runs after, give me my Avodah Zarah, they couldn't find it. Yaakov gets angry. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Lamed Vav Vayichali Yaakov Vayorev B'Lavan. Oh, here we see, gets angry. Vayorev, and he's fighting. So here the Torah stresses and the Torah emphasizes and the Torah teaches is Megaleh that it was Vayichar. The implication is that L'chura he was not angry before, because otherwise the Torah just said Vayichar, he got angry and he tells Lama, Lama Misani. That's the question. But before we get to that, it seems to be, if I would have to read the Psukim Kipshutan, here he's not getting so angry, while there, later on, he's extremely angry, Vayichar. Okay. I have another question. Did he ever get angry at Rachel or Leah? Now, Rachel, he could have gotten angry. Did he ever get angry at Leah? You're not my bride, you're not my kala, what are you doing? Nowhere do we find that he got angry. Why did he accept it? I don't understand. He could have went to the Bet Din and said, Bet Din, this is Mekach Tot. This is not Kiddushin. This is not marriage. A person thinks he's marrying this person and it comes out to be somebody else. Where is the Kiddushin? To the point that the Achronim, the Mefarshim, have a hard time to understand how really did he marry her. If he thought it was somebody else, he can't marry her. There can't be a Kiddushin, there can't be a Chuppah, there can't be a Nisuin. We'll deal with that a different time, halachically. But we want to know simply, why did he not complain? Why did he not come and say, you know what? No, I don't want this. This is not who I planned on marrying. And he would be right. And in halacha, they would grant him, what do they call it, annulment. No? What's the pshat, Rabbi Isai?
Yes or annulment?
You don't even need to know. You want to know the truth? We could sit and discuss the halachic issue of it. If he really didn't accept it, it's not even an annulment. It's nothing. Never happened. The whole thing is void. Not annulment. Annulment means we undo something. It was void. It never happened. Person thinks he's marrying a lady and he's marrying him, and a man shows up under the chuppah. It doesn't mean anything, right? It's the same thing if you think you're marrying Rachel and it happens to be Leah, technically it shouldn't work. Nothing happened. Okay. You know what the answer that we must understand in this week's parsha? You know, the obvious lived that whatever Hashem does is the results is accepted, and I don't ask questions. If Hashem made it,
no mistakes.
There's no mistakes. In English, we call it no regrets. Why? Because I know Hashem, Mehashem yatzah davar. How could such a thing take place? And more than that, the mere fact that everyone's screaming it's Leah and he doesn't pick up on it. It shows more and more. It's more of a proof It's more of a raya, that this is Hashem Yatzadov, Hashem wanted it to be, and therefore I accept it, to the point that I won't even argue, and that the Kedushin and the Nesuin, that's the marriage, that's my Shidduch, that's it. And once I live like that, and once I comprehend and understand that, I don't even get angry. You know what kas is, Rabotai? Kas is when things don't go the way we want them to go. Kas is, I didn't get my way. But if there's no such thing as my way, in English is an expression, my way, or the highway, right? Mm. Or no way. I see you guys know all the expressions. You know how the Avos lived? Either Hashem's way or no way. Whatever it is, it's Hashem. It's nothing to do with me. My way. What's my way? I don't have a way. I have only what the Eibishter, what the Rebbeinu Shleilam gives, sends, wants of me. And I accept it. I'm a Mela, I don't have kas. When there's no Yirat Shemayim, when a person doesn't believe that everything is Bashgacha Pratis, he gets angry. And Emunah. When you have Emunah, there's no room for anger. Yaakov Avinu lives with Emunah. And he's not angry, not at Lavan. He's not angry, not at Leah, and he's not angry, not at Rachel either. Now, let's go and understand, so why does he get angry at the end? Mm-hmm. Eh?
Maybe Hashem wanted him to break up.
So let's see a little bit. I saw an interesting Arachayim. Very interesting Arachayim. Arachayim HaKadosh writes, Vayichal Yaakov Vayarev Belavan. So first our Chaim says Vayichal Yaakov, because he got angry, that's why he started to fight. Had he not got angry, he wouldn't fight. Fighting is a result of getting angry. If a person could alleviate the anger, he won't fight. Once you reach the anger stage, then comes the fighting stage. That's what he says, Vayichar li akayv, and then Vayarav Belavan. But then the Arachayim says, wait a minute, why does he have to say Vayarav Belavan? It's just the same. We know the story. Lavan and his gang are running after Yaakov, so he should have said Vayichar li akayv Vayarav, and he started to fight. Says the Arachayim, Tupshatim. Vayarov, he fought with Lavan. For Lavan. This was called fighting. Why? He treated Lavan with kid gloves all the time. So this is called fighting. But if you want to know what other people wouldn't even call this fighting, this would be nice. This would be behaving nicely. A lot of times you see people, yeah, that they scream, right? What are you screaming for? So the guy said, well, it's not, I didn't say anything. Yeah, you're right. For some people, this would be nice talk. But since it's not used, since Yaakov Avinu always talks so nicely and he treats loved ones so nicely, so this is called a fire. Ooh, this is a little... But Chas Shalom, says the Arachayim, you think he really got angry and you think he really got disrespectful, you think he really said strong words? Nah! And he quotes an interesting Chazal. Kabdenus and Shalavos, what the others, what we call by them being makpid anger, would be Amenasus and Shalbanim. You know, in the yeshivas we're taught that what the others did chatoyim, what they did chatoyim for us would be mitzvahs. That's how we're taught. And we try to understand, Yaakov, Chaim says it's the same thing based on a medrash. You hear? What we call Vayichar li Yaakov, by us would be nice talk. Yeah. Wow, so sweet. Look how respectful he is. So you understand the level of the Vayichar. You hear the vod? No. Again, Nacham al Otpam, Tishma Masher Ochaim HaKodesh Omer. Masher Katuv Kvar Vayichar. Al Tachshov Sheze Vayichar Shelanu She... That the walls are ready to cave in. That's not Vayichar, okay? It was Vayichar, Klapi Lavan, which there was such a respectful. That was a little different today. Ooh, he's a little more angry today. But this would be called sweet talk for other people. What's called anger for Yaakov would be sweet talk.
Because he married him, yeah?
And then he says, Dorachayim, a second pshat. Vayichar Yaakov, Vayorev Belovon. What's the pshat? Vayorev Belovon. He did it directly to Lavan that no one else should hear. He had to tell off Lavan here. But even when he told off Lavan, he made a cheshbon. I talk directly to love. Oh, you hear some beautiful Archaim. Femod. You know, when someone gets angry, he loses himself. He screams in front of everybody. He doesn't care who's listening, who's around. What does he mean? By Yichar, it was what? It was with a cheshbon. It was calculated. It was calculated anger. And even the anger, yeah, it would be by us considered. Wow, such a nice, wow, he's so nice to his wife today. Look at him, look at him. You know, we have this problem. A lot of times we think we're being nice to the wife, so how can you be so disrespectful? Well, what do you say? And we say, what do you mean this? I'm talking nicely. Right? Well, yeah, well, no, doesn't happen, no, doesn't happen. Okay, it's tzaddikim, I don't know. All right. But this is what the Archaim is saying, that even when Yaakov Avinu already gets angry, it's what would we, another person wouldn't call anger. And it was calculated that only Lavan should hear it and no one else should hear it. Yeah. What's the pshat? The pshat is pashit. There's no such a thing as anger which comes deep from the shayrish that he lost himself and he got angry. There's no such thing. Even when he had to get angry, he calculated. I want to tell you a nice story. Want to hear a nice story? Who wants to hear a nice story? Shayna Maisa, Musa Maisa. My grandfather told me that the Alta von Slabotka, he was the giant of Musa. It's such a lesson, this story, to understand the way Musa, the way great giants had control and had such havana, had such understanding. A story goes that there was a boy in the yeshiva that this was disrespectful to the altar. And the boy realized it. So he expected that the altar would call him in. A mashkiach, altar from Slabot, would call him in. Tell Arash, she'll give him a good whack. Never happened. One day passed, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, the boy forgot about it. He figured, all right, the altar mistama either decided not to say anything or he forgot, or he didn't realize that it was such a bad thing I did. After 2 months, he calls the boy, and the boy didn't even put that it has to do with the story of 2 months ago. And the altar gave him over the head, you chatsuf, you. You, Ezazut Panimata. She says, Rebbe, I understand, it happened 2 months ago. Why did you wait the 2 months? He says, I waited that it shouldn't be personal. I waited to get it out of my system. I have to give you Musa. It's my chiyuv, to be mochiach you, to be madrich you. But I waited that it shouldn't be that I'm angry, and I'm now giving you Musa. The cheshbon, calculate l'shem shemayim. Eh? Amok. There's two types of tochacha. There's tochacha that a person gives with a calculation. There's tochacha. There are times where a person has to get angry. Then there's times where the person loses himself. When you lose yourself and you get angry, Kol mine gehenim sholtim boy. Kol hakoes, Chazal say, all different types of gehenim are sholet in the person. You want to tell me what that means? Kol mine gehenim sholtim boy. Here. You get it, Ramban. Shema b'ni Musa Ravicha. The Ramban is giving Musa, yeah? Shema b'ni. So what's he giving Musa? Don't get angry. Huh? Musa doesn't mean we think Musa means getting angry. No. He's giving him Musa not to be angry. And what is it? Tinatz le benakas. Why? Shehi midara lachtia b'nei Adam. All different types of Gehenim. What does that mean? No? That's what I'm asking you. You're asking me or I'm asking you? Who's asking who? So I'll answer you. You ready? You ready? I'll answer you. Lachtia b'nei Adam. What is lachtia? Does he say kol hakos is chote? Or does it cause you lahachtia? It causes you to sin. You know, when a person's koes, he loses himself. The worst thing that a person could do is to not be sholet, not to have full control of himself. Once you lose control, that's the beginning of all different disintegration of different things that a person could do bad. Control. Yeah, control. How does a person lose control? What happens? What's control? Let's talk what control is. Does anybody know what it means to be control? Tagid la'adam. She have control. What controls a person? And I'll answer you very simply. When a person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mistakel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Manhig. That's control. People think, by the way, that control means that he has control over himself. I want to tell you something interesting. As a Rav, many have come to me with a discussion about the AA programs, the 10-step programs for all different types of addictions. Some are pro, some people believe, some paiskim, some, you know, halachic authorities think it's a great thing. It helps a person. And others say it's a bad thing. Why? Because they teach the person that he's not in control, right?
See.
Is he in control or he's not in control? What is AA? Anybody here know how AA works? So they try to say, what do you mean you're in control? The Eibishter. A person can't control. The Eibishter controls. You know, there's a Chazal. Chazal say that Ilamale HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help a person to control against the Yetzirah, LaYuchalai, a person can't do it on his own. Truthfully, this is the discussion. This is the issue. Does man have full control to combat, or does he have to subordinate in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's one of the issues about how AAA works. Are you in control? Are you able to do it? Or no, a person has to give it over and say, you know what, it's not in my hands to do, and either another party will help me. I don't want to discuss the whole topic, but basically, self-control. What is self-control? What is, well, a person has to control himself. Is control a person with his own kochot, or control is yirat shamayim? It's really boils down to this. When a person doesn't have yirat shamayim, kol hakoes ki'ilu oyver avodah zarah. Why? Why if someone is quest, it's like he did Avodah Zarah? So many Mepharshim say the pshat is, nu Maisha, come, nu, what's the pshat? Nu! Because when a person, His mind is gone. He's so angry. Doesn't see Hashem. Doesn't see Hashem. Right? Karakles. Kilo ayvei dezare. It's like. But you know what the real meaning is? Everything we spoke of the above. When you know that everything that happens in life is given and done and happens because Hashem said so. So if a person gets angry at it, what is he saying? That Hashem is not in control of me. I want to be in control of the situation. It's ke'ilu ayved avodah zarah. And when a person says, I'm in control, call me negehenim sholtim bay, because we're not in control. Yirat Shamayim. That's what Yirat Shamayim. Ekev anava Yirat Hashem. Yeah. Yirat Shamayim. When a person knows. The first din in Shulchan Aruch, Rabotai. What's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch? No? Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Zeklal Godol Pemalot HaTzadikim. Because a person who has Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Samid doesn't sin. Why? Because he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. So the moment a person is Kles, he loses the Shiviti Hashem. He loses that Hashem is running the world. And therefore he gets angry. Yeah, what's your question? I'll answer you. What's your question? Shiviti, it's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shiviti Hashem l'ne'. I put Hashem in front of me. When I know that Hashem is in front of me, then I'm subordinate. I am tachat. The Rebbeinu Shalom is memshala, so I don't sin. Because if a person is hefker, so to speak, if a person doesn't have that Yirat Shamayim, see, he'll do whatever he wants. He could do whatever he wants. So let's make a minute chazara. You ready? Yaakov Avinu. Yeah. No, not yet. No, we can't make a... What do you look? What do you need?
Asking if he wants a coffee,
who wants a coffee? What do you need coffee for? You listen to the shir, that's the coffee. Okay. Maishallah, come. What was the first thing in this week's parsha in Vayetzi that Yaakov Avinu asks his bakasha, his tefillah to Hashem? In Yelo Kimi Modi. What is his only request? Hashem should be with me always. Hashem should always be with me. Yaakov Avinu knows that the derech, beautiful, huh? You know, a person in the morning, he knows he has a day ahead of him to go to Wall Street or to some other place in Manhattan. He's in Sakana. There's so much Yetzirah. There's so... What do you need to ask? Hashem, be with me. Many Mefarshim discussed this prayer, this bakasha that he asks. And the simple pshat, the most basic pshat in the psukim is, he knows he needs siyata d'sheinir, he knows he needs to live with Hashem in order to survive all the nisyonis that he's going to go through. And one of the greatest pitfalls that he had, and one of the greatest nisyonis tests that he had, was to be able to accept and not get angry at every step of the way. Like I said, a father-in-law, a boss, a liar. He could have woken up every morning, every single morning, and lose himself. Yet he doesn't lose himself. Hashem is with me. And even where he gets angry, Hashem doesn't lose himself. It's calculated. It's like the altar from Slabotkila. Yes, of course he had to get angry at the student. but he didn't lose himself. He couldn't lose himself. He had to be full control. Constantly full of control. I want to show you something interesting, okay? When a person needs to sometimes tell off or to respond, there's times where you've got to. Like we said, Yaakov Avinu had to respond to Laban at the end. But it was what calculated. And it was something that what, that if it was Avinusnusel Shobonim, which means it was said in such a way that it wouldn't even be called anger. I want to show you something interesting. In the beginning of the parasha, we find that Yaakov Avinu really tells off strangers that he knows nothing. He knows, doesn't know them at all. What does he tell him? Layes, Yosef Hamikna. Right, it's not the right time. You're going into work. You're a ganovim. You're stealing. Come on, let's go. Continue working. How does he preface that? How does he preface? Come, let's see the pasuk inside. Pasuk says, how does he preface this? Oh, says the pasuk like this. Oh. Pasuk says like this here. Vayoimlam achai mi'ayin atem. Vayoimru mecharon anachnu. Vayoimlam ayidatim is love. What's achai? Okay, brothers. Since when are they brothers? No?
Slain.
So Pasha, we spoke about this many times. This is the Habibi talk, you know?
Bro.
Yeah, my bro, Habibi, yeah. I saw my uncle, Reb Zalman Sirotskin, says something so unique and so interesting. You know, today everything you have unions. Achim, it's also union. It's the union workers. We're part of a union, yeah? But the unions today is to what? To undermine the boss and to take more from the boss and get more out of the boss and try to cut the corners. Here, he's telling them, Achai, union workers, let's go, let's be honest. You still have to work more for the boss. Eh? Rav Zalman Sirotskin, eh? Interesting? Achai's union workers. It's cute. Interesting. The Rav of Ponevish, the one who built the Ponevish Yeshiva, used to say a tremendous thing. Rav Kahneman, Ponevish Rav. And this was his whole style and his way of giving Musar. You know what he said? Since he's teaching them ethics and he's giving them Musar, what right does he have to give them Musar? And even better, what are they listening to him for? Tell me, if you walked over on a train and start giving a guy Musar, that he should sit a certain way, or you know what the guy would do, right? You know what finger he'd show you, right? You wouldn't get a pleasant gesture from the guy, right? Why is it that they even listen to the guy? And the answer is what? Achai, the key word. He knew how to get the Musar across. It was said in a way that it really penetrated, because Achai. They say over that the Ponevish Rav succeeded where others didn't succeed. People don't realize the Ponevish Rav built where people thought he would never be able to do it. When they came after the war, people would tell him, "Ach, what are you want to build a yeshiva?" He told him he's going to build a palace, a yeshiva, a metropolitan of Torah. Amurla is the chalamot, dreams. You know what he answered? Chalamot, ani lo yoshen, I'm not sleepy, I don't sleep. People who sleep and they want to do things and build things, yeah, that's chalamot.
That's a dream.
But if a person, works hard, that's not called chalamot. That's not called dreams. So they say, what was the key to his success? There was a Chavar Knesset, his name was Rav Lawrence. one of the Chavar Knesset. He was one of the Knesset members, and he was close to the Rav of Panevish. And he helped him with a lot of his endeavors. He said the key to the Panevish Rav's success was his ability to connect and be able to talk to people, because he introduced all his words with Bridalach, my brothers. That's how he used to talk. My brother. My brother. My brother. Yeah. A person connects to the word. I'm going to tell you a story. Yeah, you want a good story? All right, you got yourself a good story. Come on, I'll tell you a good story. You ready? Okay. I was sent from the yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael maybe 10 years ago to travel around the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael to try to recruit Bachram for the yeshiva. And I would give a shir here, there, and talk to the Bachram afterwards. And this was supposed to be a way of getting the boys to come here. Good. It was all prearranged. When I went to Beit Vagan, I stayed by my uncle, that the taxi every day would come and take me to a different yeshiva. A lot of these yeshivas weren't in Yerushalayim proper. They were on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. So the first day I went with the taxi, and we started leaving, you know, Yerushalayim, the mountains we see, and the, I had a little bit of butterfly in my stomach. I had butterflies in my stomach. Why? I didn't recognize the cab driver if he was Jewish or not. And there were a lot of terrorist attacks at that given moment, at that given time. There were a lot of... I was a little nervous traveling outside of Yerushalayim in a car with a person that I wasn't sure if he was Mishalanu. I wasn't sure. So I try to look if he has a Magen David. I try to identify with him a little. Nothing. I couldn't see anything. He was very dark skinned and long hair, and I don't know. I was we're traveling, and all of a sudden he turns to me and he says, "We're lost. I don't know how to go." And I go, "Oh no, that's it. Kalti lagitili. That's it. We start. I took out my tilim. All right." Now this is before the GPS days. GPS day, right? It's way before that. Kitsi, he radios in, and the guy says to him on the radio, "Yamina, small aloya day." He doesn't know. We should ask people in the street how to get there, because this was some remote area, you know. I'm thinking to myself, it's not good. It's not good. He turns to me and he says to me, "Yamina or smala? You know, should we go right or left?" Like, I know. What do I know? So I thought to myself, "Katuv." That's right. Leib chacham liyamin, kol pinot shadam poneh, al tifne ela yamina. You go to the right. All right. But I was trying to connect with him a little bit. So I told him, Achi, yamina. Put his foot on the brake and he stopped the car short. I'm thinking, that's it. I had to open my big mouth, you know. I had to say, "Achi, you know, what? Why did I do that?" Turns around to the back seat and he tells me, Ma Marta. I said, "Amarti Yamina." I'm not going to say it again. I'm not crazy, right? So I told him, "Amarti Yamina." La, Ma Marta Lifneze. I go, "Oh no, this is not good. So I try to, like, you know, hesitate a little bit. He says, "Karato tilchir." I said, "Yeah." Opened up his glove compartment. He took out a yarmulke that they wear by the kotel. He puts it on. And he says to me, "Kishakarato tilchir." When you call me my brother, pa'amli balev. Gave me my heart gave him the word's not a boost. What's the right word in English? Pa'amli. There's no word. Pa'am. Pa'am. Yeah? Dafakli balev. I feel this only when I go to the kotel. When I go to the kotel, I feel this fika balev. Yeah? When you called me achi, I felt it. So I told him, "Al ze katuv kol dodi dofek." Pitchili. Never know how to break in, how to get in into the heart of another person. Yeah. He goes to the Kaisel, he gets a Difikat Balev, the word Achi. This is where it comes from. Yeah. A person could penetrate deep inside the heart of another person. He's giving them Musar. They should have told him, go jump in the lake. What are you giving me Musar? What are you talking to me about? Now, of course, I try to tell the guy he should do tshuva. You know me. Listen, I'm already Yal Asher Hashim from 30 years ago. You know what I mean? I've been involved with the Chazak and the Chikiruv. So I tried. Told me it's not for him. All right, I worked on it. I tried my best. All right, bottom line. How you talk, you hear? How you respond. I want to show you something interesting. You ready, Rabotai? Yaakov Avinu was punished for getting angry in this week's parsha. Yeah? You ready? Rachel is jealous of Leah. But the kaner Rachel bachota. She turns to Yaakov and she tells Yaakov, Hava li banim vim ayin meta nochi. I'm going to kill myself. I'm dead. The Mefarshim, the Rishayim say, I think the Ramban uses that language. She spoke like women, shrill. You know, you ever see a woman when she
give the children?
Yeah, yeah. Ramban says she spoke like women. You can't. It's interesting. In the schools, they teach Ramban. I wonder if they teach this Ramban in the schools. Yeah? He says, Dibra Gagwe Nashim, she spoke like the shrill women who, you know, when they get angry. When a woman gets angry, she says, oh, I'm not going to die. Suicide. All right. Yaakov gets angry at her. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says again, Vayichar, yeah? Pasuk, Vayichar af, yeah? Vayichar af Yaakov Berachel. You notice one word difference. You ready, Maishala? This is why you come to my shir. You ready? Okay. And why? Because I was zocha. The Rabbi Yishon helps me learn. Because I mean to teach you with all my heart. I come here with Messiah's nefesh. I really... Tell me, when he gets angry at Lavan, what does it say? Vayichar Yaakov. What does it say over here? Vayicharaf. Huh? What's the difference? Yafeh mod, huh? Thank you. I thank you for this, that you gave me to recognize this. Vayichar is calculated. Here, what is it? Af was Yaakov's anger. He got angry. Ooh. Now, but why did he get angry? Ramban says, you know why he got angry? He wanted to give her Musar. He wanted her to daven. What are you asking me? He had cheshbon naki. It was a very pure cheshbon. It wasn't just what we get angry because we didn't get the supper that we want. That's not the story. He got angry at Rachel because he didn't get the right supper. He got angry because she was wrong. Either because she had no right to express herself like that, or because she needed to daven. And the Rishayim are busy that she was wrong and Yaakov was right. Yet, what do we find? Chazal say, this is how you respond to someone who's in pain? Your children will have to stand in front of her children in humility. In humility, yeah? In fear, in trepidation. When they came to Mitzrayim later, right? They all stood in front of Yosef, humbled, put it away, humbled, you hear? What did Yaakov do wrong? Yaakov meant well, and he gave her Musar, and he meant to give her Musar for her good. And what's the answer, Rabbi Isai? B'chikachoinim es ha'amukais. The anger. See, the way you responded, it was a certain anger. certain strength to what he said. It was tough talk. You don't talk like that to somebody. Even if your intentions were right. Very interesting. So we find in the Parsha that Yaakov Avinu never gets angry. And even where he has to get angry, calculated. The one place that he gets angry, L'shem Shemayim, he gets punished for it. Now I have a question for you. Do you realize the depth of the punishment that he got? Bonecha tamoid lifnei b'no. What does that mean? How was that a punishment? And what's the answer? It means the whole hishtal shalut. It means the whole tsar and tsara. The whole tsara that he had to go through. That mechiras Yosef. Part of it is, look how you talk to her. Abayisai, you're listening. Someone is hurt. Someone is down. Someone needs a word of encouragement. And in response, what do? We don't give him the word, even if we're 100% right. I've heard from many Gedolim, many Bali Musar, we could apply this on a daily basis. How many times people come to us and say the wrong thing? And why are they saying the wrong thing? Because who knows what's going through psychologically in their mind? Who knows what pain they're having that makes them express themselves that way? There's a beautiful chazaynish, Rabbi Yisai. You want a beautiful chazaynish? A lot of times when people are, you know, poked at or, you know, what we call it, when you instigate somebody, instigate is the right word, when you instigate somebody, right, you respond. Chazanish said, what are you responding for? What are you responding for? Imagine a person is crazy. Imagine a person is completely insane. He's from an insane institution. And he comes over to you and he starts poking fun at you. And then he makes funny faces at you. Huh? What would you say? You get insulted? You get angry? You respond? Your father already taught you. What are you responding? He's labach lo beseder. Lo me'achuz, right? Lo beseder. Lo metumtam. Matama. Huh? Says Chazon Ish. What happens if the guy bothers you? Or the guy says the wrong thing to you because he's lo beseder b'midot shelo? But he's only bedat is Adam shelo beseder. He has kinna and he has a kas. Who's a choli? Choli amidot. That's what the Chazon Ish used to say. Just like if a person's choli adat. What do we say? What are you responding to him? Leave him alone. He's crazy. But personally, you see a guy in the street. You leave him alone. Choli adat. Chayli Amidus is the same thing, says Chazon Ish. Eh? But let's go one step further. Let's go one step further. What happens if the guy is doing, he needs attention? What happens if the guy needs attention? The reason why he's making problems, the reason why he's bothering you, the reason why he's Yidizak and Chepetir, why is he chepping you? And the answer is because he has his issue and he's hurt and he's... So maybe if you respond, you're transgressing the chikachayinim asamukais. That's how you respond. You could be 100% right. You could be 100% right. You see, Rabbi Yisai, the way we react and the way we talk speaks volumes of what's really going on inside us. Do we have Yirat Shamayim? You look at the Ramban. The Ramban speaks that what is the tachlit of everything? Anava. And Anava is because it brings to Yirat Shamayim. And what is the start? Where does it start from? Says the Ramban, Titnaheg Tomid Lidaber Kovrecho Benachas. L'chol adam. U'b'chol eis. U'b'zeh tinotzel min ha'kas. Oh, so who could do that? All right, so let's talk a minute. You notice that the Ramban says, come, learn with me, come. What does Ramban say? L'daber kol v'recha. L'chol adam. I know people that speak some of the time nicely. I know some people who speak to some people nicely. And I know some people that speak sometimes nicely. You know what the Ramban wants? All you talk to all the people all the time. All in all. Yeah? Could you read the Ramban? Does it say all in all? What's the pshat? No? And the Teretz is, if a person is in control, knowing Hakol Makodesh Baruch Hu. The Chinuch writes that one of the reasons why we're not allowed to take Nekama. Why don't we not? Well, what's wrong with taking Nekama? The guy did who knows what to me. Why can't I take Nekama? Why can't I take Nekama? Why not? You know, the sweetest thing is revenge, you know that? Cool. It's even sweeter than a good Sunday ice cream. Hey, what do you guys like? Give me a good food you guys like. You guys are sleeping already. I'm trying to wake you up. Come on, Rabbi. It's like, don't sleep. Huh? Good. Revenge is sweeter than that. The Torah says, you know, I'll take the come. It says the chinuch. Why not? It's all from Hashem. What are you talking about? So the same thing, you know, I'll get angry. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you getting angry? What are you at HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's all Hashem, yeah? And when you understand that, it's l'chol adam. Now, what's kol adam? You ever see the way people treat children in shul? You ever notice that? You ever see the way people treat? They have no respect for children. Yeah, I'll tell you a nice story. I have to tell you stories because I see the chumash is not working for you, so the stories will work for you. All right. There was once a big tzaddik. His name was Rab Eisel Charif. Charif. Now, you say Charif, you're getting hungry already, Mustafa. You want to go and eat bagel with Charif, right? Okay. I mean, we don't eat Charif. My kids eat Charif. My kids already have it in the genes, the Charif. I mean, I don't know Charif. It's like eating ammonia. I don't know how you guys eat it. But all right. Anyways, neither here nor there. All right? The kids are Rabbi Eisel Charif. But Torah waya Charif. He didn't eat Charif, Chatzilimim Charif. That wasn't, okay. Kids are... So the story was, when he was a little boy, there was a guy in shul, an old man. You know, the old man used to be very grouchy. Old men in the synagogue are very grouchy. You know, there's a reason for it, by the way. You know the reason for that is? I'll tell you what the reason. The Gra says that when an old man, as he gets older, he's closer to death. Obviously, right? As he gets closer, so the gashmiut gets less. The gashmiut gets less. His body starts to deteriorate, right? The feet stop working, the eyes stop working, the ears start working, right? As he gets closer, the only thing that gets stronger is the ruchniyut of the person. Gava is a tava ruchani. It's not a ta'ava gashmi. It's a very interesting gra. And therefore, the older a person gets, the gaiva chelik gets stronger. Ge'ah is a ruchnizdika thing. Hashem is also mitga'eh. Ki goy ga'ah. So the older a person gets, very interesting. You notice old people should get very angry about their seats. You ever notice? If you sit on the seat, a young guy thinks, big deal. I'll anyway go outside and schmooze with my friend. Who cares? Take my seat. You know what? Keep my seat. Who cares, right? An old man, you touch his seat. Eishlava, right? Ashkenazim and Sfarad, not so bad. They don't care. They told you to get out of the seat because they look at you as a little boy. Just kidding. All right. You know what? We'll discuss it. We'll call the police and we'll take care of it for you. Okay, good? All right. What is the point? When a person gets older, his gava and therefore his kas. Remember I told you, gaiva and kas, it's all another, the Ramban. Okay. Story. Rabbi Eisel Charif, as a little boy, got a licking, a lashing, a tongue lashing from an old person in shul. And you know what he said to him? You're a little boy in such a mechutzaf, such an azpanim. What happens when you get older? When you grow, you can imagine when you start getting bigger and older, you'll grow into, what's going to be with you? You know what he answered him? I'll be a zaken, shnoten musali ladim ktanim. That's what I'll grow into. He says, what's going to be when you come? You're going to get older, you're going to be nice. He says, "Ani yezaken shnoten musar tzoek al yaldim ktanim bebet knesset." Point being, yeah. Gotta talk to children also. You know why? People don't realize that it has to do more with you than with them. Don't you understand? It's about you. It's about another. It's about Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Yeah? I'll tell you a nice story. Rabbi Yisr Zalman Meltzer, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. He was a tzadik bimidot. I want to show you what a tzaddik can be. You want to hear what a tzaddik can be? That is, I'll tell you what a tzaddik can be. It was Yadua. It was Mufursam. He was the father-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. He was a Talmud Rabbi Chaim. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in Yeshivat Eitz Chaim, the famous Yeshivat Eitz Chaim. Okay. In the sukkah, he sat. People would come to him because sukkot, chayav adam, Likabel Pnei Rabo is Sukkot, the Chag. So they would come to visit him, right? From all over Yerushalayim. He once turned to his family on Sukkot, sitting in the Sukkah, and he asked, give me a pen. Bring me a pen. I need to write something. So the family brought him the pen, but afterwards they asked him, Hello, Abba, ata lo kotev b'chalamoyet. Chalamoyet ata makpid. A lot of righteous Jews don't write it all on chalamoyet. Chalamoyet, how could you write? He says, pikuach nefashot. I had to write. It's pikuach nefashot. Pikuach nefesh. I had to write. Even though it was chalamoyet, pikuach nefesh. What's the pikuach nefesh? He didn't want to say. When he left the sukkah, you know, of course, they started searching the papers, what he wrote there. You know, they want to write books, they have to write, you know, find out what he wrote over there. You know what he wrote? Mum shebecha al tomar bechavercha. A mum that you have, don't think your friend has it. Mum shebecha, it's a gemara, it's a chazal. If you see a bad trait in somebody, you also have that bad trait. Don't look at him and say he has that bad trait. Okay? He wrote this on a piece of paper and he put this underneath the tablecloth. So they walked over to him and said, Abba, what did you write here? What is this? What does it mean? He says, listen to me. From all over Yerushalayim, people come to me. And I look at them and they bother me about this and about it, and I realize this guy's a nudnik. And this guy's a meshuggah. He's a kol echad im a. As I'm tamid mistakel ala milim ha'elu mum shebecha al tom. I'm not mistakel ra ala nashim. I don't want to see bad about people. Zetz li pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh. Yeah. And therefore, I had to write on chalamoyed. I had to write this. This is who Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was. This is an introduction to the following story with this I end. You ready? You ready? Okay. Why is everyone sleeping? Matem Yoshnim. But you know what? Let's take out the slichot, right? Of what you call it, of Ben Adam. You want me to sing it? Ben Adam, Malach HaNirdam. You want me to sing it? Is that going to work for you guys? All right. Okay. I don't know, I have to wake you guys up. Okay, so listen good, listen carefully. He was giving a test, a bechina, a test, in Yeshivat Eitz Chaim. The students, the kids, In the middle of the test, he gets up and he walks out of the room and he starts pacing the hall back and forth, back and forth. So they were, what? What happened? Did the kid, did you get nervous? The kids, they were making you nervous. Were you tired? What happened? So they overheard him saying to himself, Yeled Zagam Ben Adam. Yeled Zagam Ben Adam. Yeled Zagam. Tzichim lechabed oto. Tzichim lechabed oto kmo kol ben adam. A child is also a person. To treat him with proper respect. To treat him with love and dignity. You hear? Because he was testing them and they didn't know. They didn't know! Yeah? Yeled Zagam Ben Adam. Yeah? This is a tremendous lesson. And with this I end, Rabbi Yisai. Yaakov Avinu, did he ever give Musar to any of his children?
Of course.
When?
At
the end of his life. We don't find anywhere. Shimon V'Levi, right? There we find, he says, Achar Temoti. But otherwise we never, and Chazal say, that he chose only at the end of his life because he was afraid that if he gives them tochacha, what's going to happen? Yelech v'yidbak be'esav. Tell me something. That's what he's afraid of. Esav? Esav? So many mefarshim say, you know something? We think Esav. I'm going to have to spend another 5 minutes with you. Is that okay? You mind if I spend another 5 minutes? You don't mind? Okay, I'm good. I'm good to go, Rabbi Say. As long as for Hashem and His Torah, I could sit here all day and teach you. I could teach you all day. If you guys would stay, I could do it. I owe the Eibishter everything. Libi Lashamayim. It's all for the Eibishter. You ready to stay for more? Okay. So remind me two things. You'll remind me. Manerach and Hakol Kol Yaakov. Kol Yaakov. You ready? You'll remind me. It's just suddenly. You have to remind me. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Tishmu Tov. So, what was I telling you first? Esav. Who was Esav already? So many want to say that we don't realize who Esav was. We don't realize who Esav was. We think Esav was this bad, evil Saddam Hussein. Esav walked around with peyot. And he had all the... To the point that the Shvatim, the smallest, they were able to jump ship and go to his yeshiva. Yidbak be'esav achi? You're learning yeshiva. And if I give you Musa, what are you afraid? You're going to go to Iraq to go join Saddam Hussein? Well, it doesn't make sense, right? And what's the answer some Farshim want to say? No! Obviously, he wasn't Saddam Hussein. Obviously, he wasn't from Libya. What was the guy from Libya's name is? Gaddafi. He wasn't a Gaddafi. Fidel Castro. I see you listening to the news lately. Good. All right. It's an interesting thing. And what did they do with Fidel Castro? They made ashes from his thing. They can make cigars now. I was thinking about it. You should make cigars. Cuban cigars, no? What? I hope no Cuban terrorists are going to come to the yeshiva here and shoot me. Okay, yeah, but bottom line, Rabbi Yisai, listen carefully. You hear? So Kubi, the pshat is... See, I got a right to wake up. You see, that's how I wake him up. So the pshat is... You hear, Rabbi Yisai? You hear? The pshat is... That Esav, we don't understand. Esav was not this low life you think he is. And he, listen, Yitzhak thought he was big. It wasn't so simple. The Gra writes that if Esav would have got the brachot, the Shvatim would have came from Esav. It's a Gra. I spoke it out last time. Did I speak? The Gra says this. Yeah. That if he got the brachot, Esav, the Shvatim, the 12 Shvatim would have came from Esav. That's one way to answer it. The other way to answer it is, that this is what a bad word could do. If he would have given a bad word, one bad word to his children, they would have went to Saddam Hussein. One answer we have to give is, maybe we don't know who how great Esav is, and they would jump ship to Esav. Or the pshat is, you don't know how bad one word can do. The damage. And we all have to be very careful. In chinuch, you never know. You never know. You say the wrong thing. You never know the damage that he can jump ship to go to Esav. Now I'm going to tell you two things that I said I'm going to tell you. Okay. A nice word. Yaakov Avinu, Achi. There's something that every year, Rosh Hashanah, I'm a Baal Tefillah, and something that catches my eye. There's a Tefillah that the Baal Tefillah says as an introduction before he starts saying the Shemoneh Esrei, the Chazarat Hashatz. Hineni Ani is for the Musaf. But the Shacharit, I'm a Baal Shacharis, and there's a Tefillah that says, that the Baal Shacharit says, and it's different. Day one and day two is different. In day two, we say something very interesting there. Tamachti Yisei, I established my speech trend, my trend of speech, I'll say for HaChachma, on the Book of Wisdom, Mishlei. Mishlei gives us a formula on how to pray for a Baal Tefillah, and that is, Man Rach Yashiv Chema. Does it sound familiar, the Pasuk? Man Rach, which means a soft answer, a soft spoken word, Yashiv could take away all the anger. Yashiv Chema. In Yiddish, there's an expression, Avar Mevecha Vart Can beg an eisen. What does that mean? A soft word. A soft. Could bend even the hardest metals. It's an expression based on this pasuk. Avar mevart can beg an eisen. It could bend even a metal bar. The Mefarshim explain that actually in Tanakh, there are two stories that illustrate this. The first story is in Tanakh, is in Shoftim. Perik Ches, Gideon. Does anybody know the Gideon? Gideon was a Shaifet.
Yeah, yeah.
So Gideon the Shaifet, he went to Milchama against Midian. Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim was angry that they were not called to fight. They wanted to fight. Why didn't you call us to fight? They were called, but they were called at the end. At the end of the war, like a mop-up. You have in English, they call it a mop-up job, when you have to just finish off. And what did they do? They captured. They captured. Here, they captured all the enemy leaders. They captured all the enemy leaders. So Gideon tells them, what are you talking about? What you did was bigger than what we did. You captured all the leaders at the end. Yeah. So that's how he responded to their angry protest. With a soft word. Yeah. The Pasuk says, Toiv Oilois Ephraim Mivtzor Aviezer. The Oilois, Oilois is the last of the grapes. The mop-up job. The last of the clusters of the grapes. The mop-up job was more than Mivtzor Aviezer. What we, and my family, Gideon, and my peoples, what we conquered the Midianim. And because of that, it averted a whole angry protest and everything, Mishalom, went peaceful. All right? Yet, further on, in Shaiftim, Peyrik Yud Beis, we have over here, now Yiftach. And again, Yiftach went to war in Amalek. And instead of calling the B'nai Ephraim, he ignored them. And then he calls, and then the B'nai Ephraim, this is in Perik Yud Beis, the B'nai Ephraim complained, no, how come you didn't call us? And guess what happened? He didn't respond. And he told him, I'll go jump in the lake. I don't know, what are you bothering me for? turned into a war with Ephraim, and 42,000 members of the people of Ephraim were killed in that war. No, this is not Pelegish Megillah. I already called you, you didn't answer. Bekitzer, they made a big milchama. Manasseh went to war against Ephraim, and they killed out 42,000. There was a tremendous shechita. And that what? Chazal say, you see, where a good, soft word in the right moment alleviated war. And this is a big lesson, because one word, World War I, Rabbi Yisai, it escalated from words. Wars escalate from one bad word. It is what it is. Okay. Tell me, what does this have to do with the prayer on Rosh Hashanah? I never understood this. Maner Rach, who are we talking nice to? Amil Daming Tashem. Where is the soft word that takes away the anger? No? Tagutekasha, right? How does this become the introduction, the formula of the prayer for Rosh Hashanah? So I saw a Moyudik Alshech this year. Moyudik. The Alshech says that it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. When a person is soft in his talk, he's humbled. Humbled talk, Hashem says, Meichel, I forgive. Manirach Yashiv Chema. When a person talks humble, Ekev Anovo Yiras Ad Rabban. That if a person is humble, he talks soft. A sweet word. It even works with who? With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our sins, that we're able to avert Gzar Din. Just like you can avert a war with a sweet word, in the prayer, with a sweet word. You hear how sweet words, what it does, humility, humble, person, medaber benachas. And with this, I'll end with one thing with the Kol Yaakov. You ready? Here we go. Maisha, you ready for good stuff? I'll tell you good stuff. In this week's parasha that we just read, Esav was supposed to get the brachas. Who got them at the end? Yaakov. Yitzchak sent Esav, go and capture the food, you know, and the delicacy for me, to the Litzayit, bring it back, I'll give you the brachas. While he was away, Yaakov was at play, right? So Yaakov comes, and he comes into his father, and he's wearing, don't forget, the coat. I don't have to tell you, everybody in school learns this, right? And what does Yitzchak say upon hearing Yaakov who enters? Hakol kol Yaakov. Vahayodayim yedei Esav. So why is he giving the brachas then? If the call is kol Yaakov, that's a problem. So why is he giving him the brachas? He gives him the brachas. He shouldn't have given it to him. If the call is kol Yaakov, he should say, I can't give you the brachas. You sound like Yaakov.
Go for it.
Yeah, but good. So one sign is there, one sign is not there. So I call kol Yaakov. Says the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi says something so interesting. He says, you think that Yitzchak was a moron like we are, and he doesn't speak it out that way. And you think Yaakov wasn't smart to figure out, and Esav wasn't figuring out that Yaakov was trying to outsmart him. Trust me, they grew up in the same house, and they were brothers, and they all knew that each guy was going to try to outsmart the other guy. So Yitzchak tells Esav, I have a plan. You should come in sounding like Yaakov. Why? Because if Yaakov comes to get the brachas, he'll come. He's laughing. What are you laughing for? He's a good businessman, eh?
Yeah.
So you come in sounding like Yaakov. Because I know he'll come in and try to fool me. Sounding like what? Like Esav. So when he came in, Hakol kol Yaakov, he sounds like Yaakov. And the Yadayim is there. So therefore he gave him the brachas. So I never understood this. So why Taka? Why Yaakov couldn't figure? I mean, we're saying that Yaakov would come in and what? And he would try to get them sound like Esav. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? I don't see. He should have came in and sounded like Esav, no? Unless maybe there was double, what do you call that? Well, on the chess game, how does it go again? You got it, right? Double, right? Which means, Fakert, he came in sounding like Yaakov because he knew that Esav had to come sounding like Yaakov. Yeah? He knows that Esav is... So therefore... Nachon? You understand what I just said? Okay. Really? Okay, you tried. I'm saying, if maybe Yaakov understood that Esav, in order to get the brachas, put it away, he would have to sound like who? Like Yaakov. So he came in sounding like Yaakov, maybe. He was smarter. He outsmarted. They say, oh, from the Altav and Slabotka. The Talmidim came to him and said, Rebbe, you think you're so smart. He was very good in Chinuch to understand the Talmidim. He said, you're so smart. They're narrowing you up. In English, that would be they're fooling you. They're fooling you. They're fooling you, yeah. You know, man, they're fooling you, the students. He said, I know. They're fooling me till I fool them in real good, you know. They're fooling me till I fool them back double. Yeah. Same thing over here too. Double, right? Maybe Yaakov Avinu came in sounding like Yaakov because he knows that I would say a different answer. You know what I would say? Yaakov just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Yaakov Avinu, soft-spoken Yaakov. Emmett, he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. He spoke softly. He spoke with the shame Hashem. He just couldn't do it. He knew that he had to come in, and he probably practiced it. Probably stood in the mirror. Couldn't do it. What do you call that when a guy at the end, when he chokes. He couldn't do it. Yeah? Now I'm going to show you one last thing. Where are you going? We just started. The daughter? I'll pick her up for you. Torah. One more second. Mamish, one more second. You ready? Here we go. I want to show you one more part. Yeah? One more part. Tell me, Esav was supposed to be this big Kibbutz Avim guy, right? Supposed to be the big Kibbutz Avim guy. When he comes in afterwards, it says that Yitzchak realized it was Esav. How do you know it was Esav? Because it said what? Yakum Avi. He didn't say no. He didn't say please, right? Yakum Avi! Get up! Eat! I don't understand. Esav's supposed to be this sweet son. Is he supposed to be this good son, right? And what's the answer? He also couldn't control himself. As much as he tried to be a respectable son, Esav talks like Esav, and Yaakov talks like Yaakov. You hear? The word please is not in his vocabulary. Yeah? Can't change it. Wait! Says my Zayda Zechrein Levracha, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, with this I end. Esav does know how to say please. Where does he say please? Haliteini na mina adaim ha'adaim hazeh. Give me please? Says my grandfather when he comes to trying to get food for himself, then he knows how to say please real good. You see, Esav, when it comes to treating his father, he couldn't get the word please out. He barks. Even though he's respecting his mother. But as a good politician, Esav.
Why do they consider him the epitome of
Kibbutz? Ay, veis mir. You're ruining my good word. Yeah, aliteini no. When he wants to get something. I think he should pay attention to the, what do you call that, the presidential. Yeah. They smash the guy. And then a minute later, please, please give me a vote. Please, please. We're all such nice people. What happened? It's called selective please. That's called not benachas. That's Esav's way of talking. When he wants to, he can talk benachas. But Yaakov is always hakol kol Yaakov, and he can always speak benachas. And that's how a person, a ben Torah and a Yehudi, is careful with his words to speak softly, sweet, never gets angry. L'chol adam, l'chol eis, al l'chol d'orecha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.